Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Faith Ignited on Pama Talk Radio here on Pama Media. Welcome, 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 everyone, to our Friday again. It is Friday again, and I think that for me, these weeks are flying by. Does anyone ever feel that way? Like, it's just going by so fast, a blink of an eye, and another week has passed. So if any of you are feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders today, I pray that you find a little peace for the next few minutes with me, with our Faith Ignited listeners, and with all of us here at Pama Media, especially here on Pama Talk. We have so many amazing things going on. If you guys have not checked out our May edition of our digital magazine, it is out on all of our social media platforms at www.pamamedia.com or on our app. You can download the app. It is free for you, and it is free for me, and it is free to sign up and get your app and listen to some amazing Portuguese music and have an option to hear our amazing, we have some fantastic podcasts on right now. If you guys have not taken a listen or a look over at our playlist for all of our shows that we have here on the platform at Pama, you guys take a look and find something that you're interested in, because we have something for everyone, I believe. This is my favorite podcast. Of course, it's Faith Ignited. And I love you all, my Faith Ignited listeners. And if this is your first time here at Faith Ignited, hi, how are you? It's nice to finally meet you. And if you are a returning listener to Faith Ignited, welcome, welcome. I hope you stay for a while. I hope you stay because I want to share good news here, positive things, things we can learn from, things we can hear about. And I started a series a few weeks ago from a book called Where Angels Walk. And we've been reading stories from Where Angels Walk for the past two or three weeks now. And I just always go back to this book because it's fascinating to see in everyday life angels working and performing, helping to perform miracles for you and helping. It's like one of my cousins, they're going to the Azores in a couple of weeks. And I was talking to him, and he says, oh, I he happened to have lost his mom quite a few years back. And I said, "Do you like planes?" And he said, "No, I'm so afraid to fly. I'm so afraid to fly." And I said, "Well, you can rest assured. And isn't it so wonderful to be able to be rest assured that your mom will be the co-pilot on that plane? Your mom, God, but since he's afraid to fly, I feel like his mom will be there with him, help calm his nerves, ease some anxiety." And how many times do we do something that we are uncomfortable with, and we do it and we end up doing phenomenal at it? I want to say hi to my granddaughter today, who got picked in her classroom. Out of her classroom, only two kids were picked, and she's one of them. So Nora June is doing her first recital type show today in kindergarten. And I want to wish her all the best of luck. Well, I will already know how it ended up going before I start this. So I will let you guys know. But I want to say that we're going to read again another story from Where Angels Walk. But I had a friend of mine sent me this message today, and I started to read it, and I thought this is something I can read during Faith Ignited, especially today being that it, or this month of May being that it's Mental Health Awareness Month. Let's check in with our brothers and sisters and let them, ask them how they're doing, reach out to someone, ask about someone's day, spend quality time with people. And your mental is so important. So anyways, she sent over a sort of description and a picture of a book that she thought I would be interested in. And the name of the book is, the author of the book is named Lisa Cherkarist. And the book is called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And I loved that title. If we just sit back and say that again, forgiving, a book on how to forgive what we can't forget. If there is a secret in that, I need to know what that secret is, because I think that we all want the secret to that. We all want the secret to forgiveness and the secret to having peace in your heart about a certain situation. And so she sent over the 8 things that you'll learn in this book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Number 1 is true forgiveness is a decision, not just a feeling. We often wait for the warm, fuzzy feeling of forgiveness to wash over us, but true forgiveness starts with a choice to free ourselves from bitterness, even if the wrong was never made right. Man, that's a loaded paragraph. To free ourselves from bitterness, even if the wrong was never made right. So for some of us that feel wronged by a situation or a person, you know, that resentment and bitterness will start to set in. And even if you never get what you need from that person, forgiveness isn't about that person, it's about you, right? So number two says, forgiveness benefits you the most. Holding on to hurt poisons us. Wow, it certainly does. Holding on to hurt poisons us. Forgiveness isn't about condoning someone else's actions. It's about releasing the burden that you carry so you can heal. Think of it as setting yourself free from the prison of resentment. Wow. Set yourself free of the prison from the prison of resentment. Amen. Amen to that. Number three says, you can't force closure. Sometimes those who wronged us will never apologize or change. Waiting for them stalls our own healing. Forgiveness doesn't always mean a restored relationship. Sometimes it just means moving on without their input. You can't force closure. No, you cannot. You cannot force closure. Closure has to come in time, and that time heals. Believe me, I know that time heals all things. Number four, coping mechanisms don't heal. Burying pain through distraction, denial, or pretending things are okay works for a while, but true healing requires bravely facing the hurt and working through the emotions. Yes, yes, working through the emotions. Because true healing requires bravely facing the hurt and working through the emotions. Number five, revisiting pain is how you heal. Facing past hurt heals. Counterintuitive. Facing past hurts feels counterintuitive, but that's where the true work of forgiveness takes place. Examining the wound is how you understand its impact and begin to mend. Wow. Number 7 says, small steps still move you forward. Forgiveness can feel overwhelming instead of trying to tackle it all at once. Focus only on the manageable steps. Making the decision and journaling about the pain, saying out loud, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. And the 8th one says, forgiveness often requires trust in God. Forgiveness always requires trust in God. Sometimes the hurt seems unforgivable, but trusting in a higher purpose, or that God sees even what the offender doesn't, can help when you have your own strengths fail. Trusting in a higher purpose or God that sees even what the offender doesn't, that can help when your own strength fails. I think this book is going to be phenomenal. Forgiving What You Can't Forget is the title. The author is Lisa, but it's spelled L-Y-S-A, Terkkerst, T-E-R-K-K-E-U-R-S-T, and that is a book that I'm very curious to read, because you know what? Forgiveness for me has been so difficult with this specific situation that I'm having. And forgiveness seems to be the one thing that I need to address in my heart with this other person, but I can't do that because this person isn't someone that I can drive to. And so forgiving when you've been hurt so incredibly bad by somebody is one of the most painful feelings that you will ever have to deal with, and it's so difficult. I wish there was an easy way out. I wish there was a secret way that we could get past everything and get straight to forgiveness, but it just doesn't work out that way. And so, since we're on the topic of forgiveness, I thought that I would read a story from a different place tonight. And it's about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness, and it is from a place called theforgivenessproject.com. Theforgivenessproject.com. And I'm going to read Susan Waters' story of how she overcame and forgave. Things that maybe we can learn from her and what the story is going to say. I can only imagine what her story is going to be. But you know, here on Faith Ignited, I like to pick a story that speaks to me and then read it aloud with you guys here for the first time. So we have a genuine reaction. We have genuine commentary. This is a one take kind of a podcast. It is one take. It's all I get. It's one shot. I edit this and then I don't edit it and then I send it over to Nelson, but it's one shot. I don't go in and delete some mistakes. I leave everything on because mistakes are human and people make mistakes all the time. And that's why forgiveness can be so important. It's not so much like that book said, it's not so much for you, but or for the other person, but for you. It's for you, for us. And if you're struggling and you're in a difficult place, if you're having any kind of difficulties in your life, or if you're having struggles forgiving someone in your life, I think once we read Susan's story from the forgivenessproject.com, we'll learn a little bit more about forgiveness. But first, before we jump into any story time, we have to light our candle. Our match is here. Get one out. There we go. Susan Waters is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. She is a poet, a mother of three children, and lives in the Midlands. Her story has been anonymous on the Forgiveness Project website since 2005. And in 2016, with her parents both dead, she waived her right to anonymity. After her brother Bill's suicide in 2019, Susan is now fully able to tell her story. My brother was a gentle boy before the darkness came. Bill was 10 and I was 7. When our relationship altered irrevocably, we had started lessons at Richmond Swimming Baths. My brother Bill's instructor, Bob C., was a loud, attractive personality. He took Bill out for treats and before long invited himself to our house to offer us both a day out in London. Childhood ended that day. Bob C's particular evil was to set one child against another. Turning Bill against me, he presented himself as the generous caregiver. I don't want to hurt you, things like that. And Bill was his small henchman, issuing rehearsed threats. I will break your legs if you tell. I thought of myself as a thing to be offered up to Bob C. was the instigator, but my brother continued to abuse me into adolescence. How could I tell our parents about their gross error of trusting Bob C? I was anxious about getting my brother into trouble and terrified about what might happen if I did decide to disclose it. It was very confusing to me. A year later, on swimming club trip, I saw Bob C. molesting the girl sitting next to him. Mother thought my refusal to speak to him again as defiance. Despite this strong protest against Bob C., Bill's outings continued until the day a policeman knocked on our door. Bob C. had been caught abusing a boy and named my brother as another victim in his confession. Bill went with our father to the police station to make a statement. A frightened and embarrassing situation for them to face. They returned stone-faced, not saying a thing. They didn't say a thing to Mother when she came home from her work as a health visitor. She only found out later by reading the local newspaper. There wasn't the language to communicate as a family back in 1970. Our relationships fractured under a toxic silence. It was easier to allow all of us to bury the trauma beneath a thick sheet of ice and pretend everything was normal. I had been taught the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us as we forgive others." Would God stop loving me if I couldn't forgive? This was the fear for a troubled girl with only God to talk to. I said the prayer, but didn't really mean it. Its pressure was keeping me silent and unsafe. When I became a mother myself, I found what it is to love and to be loved unconditionally. The crisis arrived when I was bathing my 7-year-old daughter. I recognized the loss of innocence at that age. For a while, I quietly tried to find some answers in any kind of literature I could find. But these were all perfect stories of reconciliation. What I was looking for was permission to end the relationship with my brother, and I could not find this wisdom in any church teaching. Despite the turmoil of everything that had happened to me, I could not abandon belief in a greater goodness. What remains is knowing that the pure love walks with me every day, and this faith is so empowering. One day when Bill arrived for a rare visit, the facade cracked. His teasing brought my younger child to tears, and I lost control, angrily shouting to Bill to leave our home and never to come back. When Mother telephoned to ask why Robert was no longer welcome, I disclosed the truth about the past. I knew my confession would split the family apart, but my first loyalty was to my children. Overwhelmed by shame, I suffered a complete mental collapse. Eventually, Bill married, moved abroad, and cut off all contact with the family. Despite everything, the primal blood tie remained. On better days, it was possible to remember Bill in happier times, safely loving him at a distance. When our mother died 10 years later, as sole executor, I was legally obligated to find him. The ground of memory began to shake again. For my healing, I went for trauma counseling, leaving my shoes at the door to stop me from running out. Working through the rage, I recalled something Bill had said long before in one of our frank conversations. If there is one thing I could change about my sorry little life, it would be that to have, it would be that I would have been protected from Bob C. There was both remorse and fear that he still held for Bob C. in the tremor of his voice. We conducted the business of the will via email. This time I was in charge. It became clear that Bill's interest was the money, and there was no inquiry about our mother or how she and I had fared in the intervening years. Somewhat provoked, I raised our past and requested a small part of his bequest to cover counseling cost as an act of restorative justice. This was given without further comment or apology. So there we were, battered siblings in our defensive corner. The last thing I typed, knowing it would be our last conversation, were sincere words of forgiveness, and in this resolution, I found liberation for myself. Bill's wife dearly loved him, but his demons held him tight. He sank into alcoholism and 4 years later committed suicide. Some said he got his penance. I sensed rather that the pain of an angry and lonely death. So early one morning, comfort came to me in a warm and loving presence, whom I believe was my brother. I can rest in the peace of that moment. Meanwhile, I needed to gather the facts about Bob C. The Richmond and Twinkleham Times report about his arrest revealed further wreckages of lives. He confessed to abusing 4 boys, but there must have been many more children caught in his predatory net. Bill and I always thought he had given a prison sentence, but in fact it was a mere fine, with the caution to be of good behavior for 2 years. It's very unlikely that Bob C. behavior did change, and I think the light sentence was irresponsible and unjust. I searched the census just to ensure that Bob C. was dead. Then a wave of compassion took me by surprise. When I read his birth record, I saw the man not as a looming figure, but as a baby. And I thought, what happened to you? What happened to you to make you the person I knew? We were all just sexually abused children. I would never excuse Bob C.'s crimes. There is the possibility to transform our shadow side, and he chose a different path. In 2017, I gave a statement to the police for the Goddard Inquiry that examined how UK institutions handled their duty and care of children. Their purpose in gathering testimonies is to inform better recommendations for the future. I tell my story here and trust that others will find hope reading it. Words of forgiveness for Bob C. remain heavy stones in my mouth. Once I accepted that I could not alter the past. I needed some shift towards healing and believed that I had the power to change. A way forward, and that was to put reason aside and take a leap of faith. With a child's trust, I visualized Bob C's soul in the light of God's hands, the hands of the loving parent that watches over me. It sounds like a cliche, but an impressive weight really didn't lift away. In middle age, I mostly turn away from the ghosts of the past, and I am open to greater healing. Life is good. The Buddhist prayer of loving kindness is another piece of the puzzle. I finally found realistic insight that forgiveness is a process. Within the struggle to forgive others, there is also permission to forgive oneself. If anyone has harmed me in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through their own confusions, I pardon them. If I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through my own confusions, I ask their pardon. And if there is a situation that I am not ready to forgive, I pardon myself for that, for all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle, judge, or be unkind to myself. Through my own confusions, I pardon myself. Amen, amen. That was a very touching story. It touched my heart because I, in some ways, related to feeling shame and guilt and confusion for all of these years. I have had to let so much go. And just as Susan was saying, there are some people that I need to forgive that are heavy stones in my mouth. I just can't seem to get there. But I know that I will. I have faith that I will. I have faith that I will be able to ask to be forgiven, ask God to forgive me for, I say that every night before I lay down, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins today, willingly and unwillingly, the ones that I chose and the ones that I didn't even know I chose. If I hurt anyone, I am truly, truly sorry. I never like to have lingering drama. For me, it's like the rosebush. You nip it in the bud, and you prune away all the dead stuff. And what's left will be a beautiful bush blooming with beautiful flowers. And that's what forgiveness feels like for me. Just like she described, a warmth comes over you when you feel and find that forgiveness. But it has to be reciprocated both ways. People have a very hard time saying, I'm sorry. People do not want to say, I'm sorry. They would rather suck it up, stand by what they said, and continue without apologizing. That will fester. That will create resentment. That will create a space in your mind where things will be jumbled up and confused. The story was a lot longer than I had anticipated, so we're going to skip the second story tonight. And I wanted to just tell you guys that I'm working on forgiveness. I'm working on forgiving people in my life and being able to move past it and not go back to those past hurts, not go back to those past traumas. But if you didn't face them then, you're going to end up facing them now. And sometimes it smacks you right in the face. And I can't believe that we are coming up to our hour. I felt like tonight's episode went by so fast. I feel like this time here is so important to me. And I want to take up every minute with good, positive, loving, caring information. Today we learned a little bit about forgiveness and how they had to forgive Bob C. And Bill was abusing his sister, but he was also abused. So when she's talking about having that compassion, it's hard to get there. And I'm sure with a lot of work, it's able to be done. I know for a fact that it's able to be done. And if you guys stay in faith, trust in God, please trust in God, because He is the one we confide in, the one we share our most intimate thoughts with. He's always there, ready to listen. He's just waiting for you guys. And if you think that you did something so horrible that you don't think you're going to get to heaven, or, you know, whatever the case may be, we can't be that hard on ourselves. We have to know that God gives us a chance to make up for our wrongs and make them right. As long as we do that and keep filling this world with love, just unconditional love, fill it up with all of our love every single day. And even if we just did a small part in this world, right? My Faith Ignited family, my Palma Media family, I want you guys to have an amazing weekend. Have an amazing Saturday and Sunday. Get outside, enjoy the weather. It's going to be a beautiful day. I hear that tomorrow is going to be sunny skies and Sunday's going to be sunny skies. And I wish you guys all the best. And until next week, I say good night. God bless. Beijinhos. Bye-bye.